In the 60s, I mean, I've done many things in my life. I played in orchestras with Leopold Stokowski with the Ives Four Symphony. All the other musicians hated it. Of course, I loved Ives music, and I was trying to teach them about Ives. And Stokowski was wonderful. So you're playing in an orchestra. First of all, you're sitting above the people sitting in the first seats. Everybody's far away from you. There's no personal relationship. You're following the conductor, who's following the composer, who's closest to God. But the orchestra, each of you, doesn't matter at all. So the spatial relationship is something in which is the orchestra is even above the audience, which means the audience has to know their place. They have to not applaud at the wrong time, only applaud at the right time, all these kinds of nonsensical things. But you change all that and use space. I mean, Ives used space, Verres used space. I mean, like, I wish I could have heard his Pomme électronique and La Corbusier in the building there, yeah? Cage uses space, Berlioz uses space, Gabrielli used space, yeah? This has been normal, but we forget it. And yet it's quite obvious.
You mentioned the notion, if I could say it that way, of silence. People thinking that it's like a dead space.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, the silence, I was thinking, reading your thoughts, that silence is also a continuation of resonance,
mm-hmm,
of the sound.
Sure.
So in fact, as Cage had noticed, and probably many others before him, true silence doesn't exist. So there's nothing dead in it.
Right.
It's actually where a lot of things can happen.
Sure. And also I have either tinnitus or tinnitus. So right now I'm hearing all my life for the last, these 60 years, I have
a high pitch.
Yeah, but I don't hear it. I mean, only when I focus on it or we start talking about that do I hear it. Otherwise, you go crazy. Yeah, but also the thing with silence is that it's a singular word. There are many kinds of silences. I mean, after when people first heard Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, it must have been unbearable at that moment, that shock. At the end of a phrase, or the way I'm talking now, it's just a breath point, or something where you go through it, or there's something where you are holding your breath. There's an energy, a kind of a contracted
tension.
Energy, a tension, yeah? So there are many, 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 many kinds of silences. And also the space has to do with that too. You know, I can stop playing, and yet the sound and the space can either go on, or if it doesn't go on, the so-called unheard resonance of the space, just like this room, has its own sound.
It has its own meaning.
Yeah,
you could say it
provides,
the room provides its own meaning to silence.
Oh yeah, I did a radio piece in Germany. It's called Between Two Spaces. And the whole thing had to do with, I traveled around Europe recording different spaces. And this I challenge anybody to try to do even for 5 minutes. And we're so in the habit of changing from space to space that we don't experience that resonance of that space. But what the whole piece has to do with hearing the resonance of that space and maybe also the ambient sounds. Yeah? And then the passing between, which might be a door, and then the resonance of another space. And I think it's like a 45-minute radio piece. And then also I have commentaries from various people like Kafka and Einstein and Pablo Neruda and Chuang Tzu, many people talking about space. But the whole thing dealt with the sounding of space and the process of changing that space and then a new space. And what I mean by a challenge is that I said, okay, Malcolm, you talk about this, so now let's do it for one day. See what it's like to really experience each space you're in. You know, I couldn't even do it because you automatically go, as soon as you open the door and walk in the other room, you already forget about what you just said, because it's that kind of very careful listening is almost like feeling the clothes on your body. You don't even feel the clothes in your body. It's there. Yeah. If you have a problem, if you have an itch, if you have a skin problem, then you hear it, you feel it. All these things which are with us all the time, we close down our senses to. So in this piece, I focused on that kind of the resonance of each space. Yeah, and it's I was very happy with it.
Yeah.
But just figure from this, to be able to go outside is one space, that space, open the glass door, a third space, the small space there. And see the four spaces, they're all different.
It's fantastic when you think about it.
Yeah.
But it's true that if we were to give a lot of attention, we'd go crazy.
Yeah. But it also can become pleasure, like because going back to the very first thing you asked me about the sound, to go into that, where you hear it but don't feel so shocked by it, I guess, is what when I draw the bow on the violin. In workshops sometimes or presentations, some people will get very, very tense. Like one person will say, "What are you trying to do to me?" I say, "Nothing. I'm just drawing. I'm just playing a sound." Other people say, like, "Why'd you stop? I'm just beginning to enjoy it." You know? It's a very rich experience. But if you're trying to make a statement with it, then it can become very, very stressful. But if you just keep your ears open, but then, as I said, myself included, it just drifts away. But when I'm playing, the physical activity of playing then is different. When I'm just walking from room to room, it's much more, it slides off me, yeah.
I'd like to end with your own commentary about the piece that was premiered March 22nd by Les Productions Super Musique, who had commissioned you this piece. And it's called Espace en Mouvement, as you mentioned. And you already mentioned that it was a difficult space to work with. I was wondering if you were able, outside of the diffusion problems that you experienced there, to explore with that piece something different. Or to go further in relation to sound and space with this new work.
There are certain pieces more recently with larger ensembles that I enjoy exploring different dimensions of improvisation. And as this one says, en mouvement, okay? And also space. The other one is one called What Can Be Said of Our Differences? In all of them, what I enjoy is allowing some area of the music either intermittently whenever the musicians want to, or structured within a certain time where everybody can do it. That is where anybody can improvise their own melodic textural material. Yeah, and then find some ways of relationships with other people. With the What Can Be Said of Our Differences, it also dealt with groupings, specific groupings on the stage. This is for an ensemble in Vienna who never improvise. So it was a week, but a week of repetition, rehearsals, and it was a lot of stress because they were used to it. But I think finally I was very happy with what they did. But it also dealt with space with different subgroups of the larger group, which was 15 people. And a similar thing with this, except the pieces are completely different, except I'm working with subdivisions of groups as well as larger total ensemble. The one for Super Musique, there are basically three spatial definitions, one in which the musicians are open all over, and then one in which they form smaller ensembles, or they can go to any ensemble they want, yeah? And then again, spatially all over again, but with different material, so that the piece has a kind of an arch structure. The first section, they choose their own material with the same breath cycle, and then they're supposed to transform it, and there are various kinds of frameworks for their activity. But that's as a kind of an overture. The heart of the music, the main activity, is exactly where they form in small circles. It relates to the Japanese renga poetry relationship, where you, what we did with this children too, you do a sound or something and you pass around the circle something. But they're improvising freely, we're listening to each other, building up phrases and then stopping, and then it's very beautiful because we all learned that the silences in between the phrases and stopping was very important, so that the whole density of the full ensemble wasn't just a mess. So then sometimes you'd hear even one person or hear two different people, but all spread out, so you could hear take in a lot of the nuances. It just didn't sound like a big conglomeration of a messy sound. And so they learned the importance of the silence at the same time as the freedom of to play whatever they wanted to. So what I was working with then was with different spatial arrangement and also density, and the density of activity, of more complex activity and more simple activity. And then most simple, obviously, is the end where they build up this chord. And it becomes, we could, actually, I think, if I remember correctly, the final chord, just everything is by chance because they're just doing what they want, which was a major, was a nice, soft major triad. Nothing was written that way. They didn't know what each was going to do. That's fine.
I guess something that struck me in the middle part that you're talking about, where mm-hmm. people are going into small subgroups.
Exactly.
And they also exchange sound from one subgroup to another.
Now that's it's interesting,
like,
yeah.
It was really like the possibility of a conversation.
Yes, exactly.
And that was really lovely.
Exactly. Well, Renga is the Japanese poets would get together, say in the time of Basho, and maybe they still do, and they would just make up one part of a haiku, and then the other person had to continue it. And so they'd be like, you'd make extended haiku, maybe of 150 haikus as they passed it around the circle. And there was a very structured, there were certain rules that you had to follow. Okay, I don't do that. And so what happened, what you mentioned was, that was delightful to me too. Say you have two different ensembles and each one is, I tell them, focus completely within your ensemble. And so there are three ensembles in that piece and they're focusing within that circle, within that building up of a phrase among them and then the silent pause. What also happened, and that was delightful to me, is that they have ears, but even though their focusing was internally, they would sometimes pick up from another group. And then you got this bridge across the space. I knew it was going to happen, but I knew if I told them to do it, then they start thinking too much. These are some of the tricks that I do. So it was beautiful. The intense activity within each group was very intense, but these bridges would happen without them even knowing it. Danger for me with improvisation is people think they have to say something. They have to impress people. They have to do something well or have something important to say or whatever. And for me, we use the word discovery. Well, the same way here, if their intention was to make these bridge, they would lose the focus within the group. But because we're human beings with ears, without knowing it, they hear things. It's like you walk down the street and you hear maybe a bird and you start whistling and you don't even know why. So, to consciously do something, it's like I say sometimes it's important to do nothing, because when you do nothing, then everything is possible. If you do something, you narrow down the possibilities of what is possible. So this is what I play with in various
so
pieces.
So let's do nothing.
Yes,
exactly. I love this idea.
Well, there's a wonderful composer, Hans Atta, is from Germany. He's dead now. He wrote a violin piece for me. It's very beautiful. His wife spent a lot of time in Japan with Zen work, yeah? But he was very affected by it. And he wrote a beautiful violin piece in which at one point I have to speak a haiku, which is very wonderful. I'm still trying to learn from it. It says, sitting quietly, doing nothing. Spring comes and the grass grows by itself. I love that. I'm still trying to learn.
It's a life story.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Malcolm.
It's a pleasure.
I mean, there's so much we can talk about. But
oh, yes.
We'll have another time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.